we're going to continue with the balanced believer, and tonight we're going to be looking at the idea of balancing duty and desire. Duty and desire. We see in Ezra chapter number 3 a description given to us of duty. In Ezra 3 and verse number 4, he says, "They kept also the feast of the tabernacles, as it is written, and offered the daily burnt offerings by number, according to the custom, as the duty of every day required." You see, they had a specific number of sacrifices that were to be made on specific days, all 8 days of this particular feast of the tabernacles, this feast that they were supposed to be observing, and they had a duty. It wasn't they would get up in the morning and they would decide, there's only one sheep in the yard today. We'll just sacrifice one today. That'll be good enough. Or they didn't come and say, "Boy, I'm feeling energetic, and boy, I'm feeling really spiritual today, and boy, we're gonna sacrifice 20 today." Their feelings had nothing to do with it. How they felt, how energetic they were, how tired they were, none of that mattered. They had a duty to fulfill. And I want you to understand, as believers, there are some things that are part of our life that are our duty. And sometimes feelings falter and we don't feel like doing something. But that's when duty needs to kick in. And we need to accomplish what God wants us to do because it is our duty. You know Ecclesiastes 12, verse number 13. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." God has duty for us. Things that we are to fulfill, things that are part of our life that are vital and important. On the opposite side of that, there's desire. Our desire and what we want to fulfill and what we want to do. In Psalms 38, verse number 9, Psalms 38, verse number 9, he says, "Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee." You know, God knows the desires of our heart. He knows what's down inside and what our desires are and where they are. Sometimes we may be in church, but like the old bumper sticker, we would rather be fishing. God knows where our desire is. God knows what, even at home tonight in the comfort of your living room, you're sitting there and you're watching the service. And for some of you, as you're watching us tonight, you may be watching it because there is a duty that pushed you to say, "Hey, it's time for church. Let's sit down. Let's turn it on." And praise God for that. Because it ought to be, there ought to be some duty sometimes that motivates us to do what's right because it's right to do. That's right. And if duty's what gets you there, then praise God for that. Yeah. I'll have to admit, there's been once or twice that we were on vacation and we were out having a good time and we were enjoying ourselves and it was Wednesday and I'm thinking, man, we're going to have to go back to the hotel and get changed into a suit and get loaded up into a car and drive to church somewhere. Man, I don't want to do that. But duty says, that's what you have to do. And we go home, and I can tell you this, I have never been disappointed that I did. When I went to church and got with God's people and we spent some time fellowshipping, it's always been a joyous occasion. We've always enjoyed it. I enjoy going to churches of like faith and practice and seeing what they're doing and meeting Christians that are doing the job in other parts of the world and other parts of our country. And I just enjoy that. But you know, sometimes the desire is not there. But sometimes the desire is. But we're to have a balance in our life between duty and desire. Balance. Pastor Derek was telling me this week about a little thing that he saw about having balance. You know, in recent days, there's been a certain item that has been unavailable in the grocery stores. There's been one thing that for some reason everybody has felt a necessity to have an abundance of. And there was a young man who has a little caption says, third week of the corona quarantine. And there's a young man sitting there and he's complaining about how his lunch does not taste very good. He's quite disgusted with it. And his mom looks at him and says, stop complaining and eat your toilet paper. When you went shopping for your quarantine, it probably would be good to get a balanced diet, to get some other things besides just toilet paper. There's more things necessary for life than just that. Although you probably don't want to be without it. So that's probably why the shelves are empty. You know, as I think through, as we've been teaching on balance, I've been trying to find different ways to illustrate and to show balance. And let me ask you this. How many of you have ever been in a canoe with somebody who did not know how to use oars? Right. Yeah. They didn't know how to use an oar. I mean, of course, you have the balance in a canoe of, you know, the right amount of weight in both sides and such. But do you know that when you put the oars in the water and you pull on them evenly, balanced, you move forward. But when you just do one, it turns the boat. And if you can't figure out how that works, you're just going to go in circles. You are not going to make much progress. And it is very frustrating when you're in a boat or when you're trying to get a group of people down a river and you've got one or two people that do not comprehend the how to use the oars and what has to happen. And sometimes you have those little wider boats that you actually have to have people on both sides and there's two people doing it, and that just gets so hard if you don't have people that know what to do. But you need that equal pressure, the balance on both sides to be able to move forward. You know, another thing in our lives that uses balance is our automobiles use a balance of oxygen and fuel that has to be mixed just correctly and timing to cause the engine to fire to make it run. Now we're moving to electric cars and that won't be an issue anymore, but at least for now and for the foreseeable future, we've got all these ICE vehicles and they take a balance of oxygen and fuel. You can't just have a whole bunch of, well, let's get more power. Let's push a bunch more fuel in there. You can't do that unless you push more oxygen in. And you've got to have that balance. That's why those little sensors that are in there, the O2 sensors and those things, if they're not working right, your car's not going to run right. And it's necessary to have that in order for your car to run properly. We need to be careful as Christians that we don't get hung up on one oar and just pull that oar all the time. That's our issue. That's our concern. That's what we love. That's what we desire. You see, we tend to lean towards the oar that we favor, the issue that is close to our hearts, the desires that we have. But we've got to understand the duty that calls us to have balance in the rest of the areas as well. I believe that this will start to make more sense as we walk through the thoughts this evening. First of all, we need to have balance in our meditation. You know as well as I do that our tendency is to spend a lot of time on our public image. Our tendency is to really focus on what other people see. This is what people know about me. You know, it's funny because on the streaming, on the devotional, we don't really know who opens the devotional and who doesn't. I mean, we just know that this many people did. Well, I made a comment about that some months ago about, well, half of you aren't even opening the devotional. You know, you signed up for it. You're not even opening it. And so several people came and they're like, I want you to know that I open it every time, you know, or whatever. Or I want you to know that I read it off of, you know, my husband's, or we do this or whatever. And, you know, people concerned about that image, our public image. What is the perception that people have of me? And we need a balance there. Because our power in public is dependent upon the time we spend in private. There's got to be a balance in our meditation. You know, in your meditation, it's great to listen to music. We have a song service here at church, and it's a vital part of the church service. But you know, there's a group and there's a movement and has been for many years where the song service ends up taking 90% of the service. And then the pastor, preacher, gets up and reads three verses, gives a little thought, and everybody goes home. But boy, everybody was so moved by all of that singing. And hey, music is good. It's important, and we need the song service. And listen, you need to listen to good, strong music. One of the things I encourage people to do that are dealing with struggles in their life or dealing with depression or dealing with anxiety, I say you need to get good music. You need to be listening to some music. It feeds your spirit. It'll quiet your soul. It's good to have that, but you can't have just music. You got to have some time of personal meditation as well. You got to have some time in the Word of God, some time where you are hearing from God and looking into His Word, studying the Scriptures. You know, we need to have a balance in our meditation between fear and fellowship. As we talked this morning about fearing God, we are supposed to fear God, but our fear of God should not put us at a place where we can't fellowship with God. A parent has really destroyed his relationship with his children if he gets to the point where his children fear him so much, they don't have fellowship. Yeah. Right. I believe a child should fear his parent. Yeah. They should fear displeasing him. They should know that there is consequences for disobedience. But there should never be that level of fear where a child can't even fellowship with his mother or father. You know, there was a young boy who was getting bad grades in school. And he came to school the next week and he walked right up to the teacher's desk and he tapped his teacher and said, I don't want to scare you, but my daddy said, if my grades don't come up, somebody's getting a whooping. So, I don't know who's getting the whooping there, but there was some fear there. He was doing everything he could to say, we're going to bring these grades up. I need your help, you know. Hey, I think there ought to be some fear, but not so much that we are not able to fellowship. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them, Psalms 34:7. Psalms 147, verse number 11, says, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him. In Psalms 145, verse number 19, get this. He says, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. You have a desire in your heart? I said, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. We do need to fear God. That needs to be balanced with fellowship with God. Balance is so critical in our Christian life, in every area of ministry, in every area of meditation, in every area of focus that we have, is so important. You know, when a tire is out of balance on a vehicle, it's not long and that tire is going to blow out. Because the friction that's created, because that tire begins to rub in such a way that it wasn't meant to rub, and it's it's going to end up creating heat, and the heat is going to cause expansion, and that tire ultimately is going to blow out because it's not in balance. And Christian, when we're not in balance, we blow out. It's only a matter of time. You can only stay because there's something rubbing you wrong because we're not in balance. It's critical that we have balance in our meditation. It's also critical that we have balance in our ministry. In our ministry here at Hunt Valley Baptist Church and your ministry as individuals. A balance between the duties that we have and the desire we have. We may have a desire to fulfill and to do a bunch of things, but there's some duty that has to be fulfilled as well. We can't just neglect all this stuff because we don't like it or because that's not our cup of tea. And just do we can't just be over here yanking on the oar that we like and ignore everything else. Well, this is what I desire. Yeah, but there's duty as well that we need to fulfill. Let's take, for instance, the soul winning, outreach, getting the lost saved. And internal fellowship. There, Dr. Ironside told a story about a group of believers that were so concerned about fellowship, they had very little concern for the lost. They actually hung a sign on the front of their church that said, Jesus only. Although with a little bit of age and maybe by God's direction, somehow the J-E-S fell off. And their sign on the front of the church actually read, us only. And that was a mindset, a mentality that they held. You see, we need to have a balance between preaching and reaching. Yes, we gather together here and we're inside God's house and boy, we enjoy it and it's encouraging and strengthening and we edify and exhort one another and build each other up and encourage each other. But you understand that what we do inside God's house does not impact the world. If we're going to make any difference out there, we've got to take what we've learned here and carry it out into the world. There's got to be a balance. If we had 90% of our time and investment put into visiting and reaching people out there, and only 10% on study and preparation and growth here at church, you're way out of balance. Oh, this is great. This is important. Yeah, except our church would be so shallow, we wouldn't have anything to offer those that we reached. You might see some people saved, but when they came here, they wouldn't grow. And there is part of that that we've seen even in recent days where people came from churches in our area that said, boy, I got saved and I went to church, but I've been going there for a while and I'm just not growing. I'm just not being fed. I'm just not getting anything deeper. Well, what if we went the other way? Because, man, we need to have substance. Let's put 90% of our effort into the ministry of the word, into Bible studies here at the church, and let's have a Bible study 3 nights a week, and everybody can get involved in these different measures of Bible study. We would be real deep. But we'd be empty. There wouldn't be any people here because we've neglected reaching out. There's got to be a balance between preaching and reaching. You know, our preaching in church should be balanced as well. And you say, well, Pastor Caleb, this point's for you. I know. It is for me, but I want you to understand there's a duty given to me to preach the whole counsel of God. Amen. There is a duty that's before me. You know what? There are topics that I really enjoy. I think probably most of you know I enjoy teaching on the family. Yeah. I enjoy taking time and teaching and preaching on the family. But if that's all I did, I'm neglecting a lot of what God wants me to give his people. So there's got to be a balance in what we preach. It needs to have enough doctrine to make it sound, but enough fire to make it hot. Right. I heard a message preached many years ago, and I'll never forget it. I'm not even sure we want to call it a message. But a guy got up, and he read one verse. I don't remember the verse, but I remember he said, I'm going to preach to you this morning on the title, Red Hot Preaching. We need red hot preaching. And everybody just, amen, amen, preach, brother. I mean, everybody got excited about it. And he took off running. Never one time did he reference the scripture again. Never one time did he again give biblical illustration about preaching or talk about prophets and the word of God and what they preached or Jesus Christ and his method of preaching. He just got up and told one story after the next about how pastors got in the pulpit and skinned their people alive and how that was red-hot preaching. And that's what we need is red-hot preaching. Well, that might have been hot, but it didn't have any substance. It didn't have anything that you could go home with that would change your life. And although we do need hot preaching, we need doctrinally sound preaching as well. We need to preach the whole counsel of God. Some men really enjoy preaching on prophecy. They just love it. And you know what? They gather a group of people that enjoy hearing prophecy. And those people, they really enjoy hearing prophecy. And they'll get into prophecy, and I would say, 75, 80% of the messages that somebody like that preaches, they preach on prophecy. What they're doing is they're over here, they're pulling that oar. The one they like. The topic that they've got studied. Like I said, I really enjoy Ezra and Nehemiah. You know why? Because I've really studied Ezra and Nehemiah. It's easy for me to preach from Ezra and Nehemiah. I can study and put together a message quick from Ezra and Nehemiah. I mean, I know the background. I know the history. I know the dimensions. I've got all that study done. And I could grab that oar pretty easy. Some people really like dealing with what I would call a current events preacher. Politics. Now listen, we need prophecy. And we need to deal with the issues of the time as well. I would say that's what I did this morning, dealing with fear. This is something that we're facing as a society today. And as a desire of my heart, and I feel given to me by God as a message this morning to preach to anybody that could tune in, that we don't need to be held hostage by fear. We need to be freed because we have God. Amen. If you don't have God, you need him. And you can get him. That's what this morning was. But some people, they spend all their time invested in political issues. But you know, as a pastor, I have a duty, a responsibility to touch on those things as well. I have a responsibility to deal with the current issues of the time and what's going on in government and what's going on. You know, God ordained three institutions. You guys know what they are. The family was the first one. The government was the second one. We get all the way to the New Testament, and he gave us a church. Those three institutions, you know, it'd be pretty... At Capital Connection this last year, one of the men got up and said, it's inconceivable that of the three institutions that God ordained, that God would expect the church to avoid one of them. It's inconceivable. Yeah. Oh, pastor, you can preach on the family. Yeah, amen. You better do it. Pastor, you can preach on the church. Boy, we need more preaching on the church. Oh, wait a minute, pastor. You're getting political now. Dealing with government. I don't know if that's where the church should go. If you feel that way, it's because you've bought into the modern philosophy of the false philosophy of the separation of church and state, which is not biblical. we do need to deal with the issues of the time, especially as we're coming in this year to a very important election. Here in just a month, in the church family, I'm going to be encouraging you to get out and vote. We've got to fill Elijah Cummings' seat with somebody. Who's going to be voting? The church, God's people should be voting. Being involved in government. It's inconceivable that the church would separate themselves and not have anything to do with that. We got to preach the whole counsel of God. There's a duty. Maybe it's not my strong point. Maybe it's not something that I'm really good at. But I still have a duty to do it. I still have a duty to deal with that in our ministry. You know, there's different kinds of hearers as well, although preaching, that's obviously for me and a challenge to me to be sure that I'm not just over here yanking on this one oar. You know what? You know what a lot of churches get, what pastors get onto, the one oar? And you know what? Sometimes church members really, really like it, is that salvation message. Every message is salvation. We have two or three people in our church right now that came, they've been here for a long time. They came a long time ago, but they came and they said, Pastor, where I came from, every single message was salvation. Yeah. And I need something more than that. Right. How am I going to grow? I mean, I know we need to be saved, and I know we need the message of the gospel, but there's no visitors in the congregation. There's nobody else going to hear the message. And we're getting preached salvation again and again. That's that one oar that he's just grabbing and going in circles. So be patient with me as your pastor as I try to have a balance and deal with the whole counsel of God and all of life. We need a balance as hearers as well. We are to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. We're to be doers of the word. We need to not just hear it, but apply it and do something with it. One man said this, one pastor, this is quotes from him. He said, there are different kinds of hearers in my church. There are those who believe everything that I preach because I preached it. I don't know, but he says there are hearers like that. There are also hearers that believe what I preach because they already believed it before I said it. They already believed it. He said, there are those who come and hear what I have to say and weigh it against the scriptures to decide if they're going to believe it. Which is what you should do. It should not be based upon what you already believed. And if what's preached happens to line up with what you believe, what you should do is search the scriptures and see if what's preached is in the word of God, and then you believe it. You shouldn't believe it just because I preach it. You ought to search the scriptures and see if it's in there, and if it is, you should believe it. There are some, he went on, he said, there's some that don't believe anything that I preach. And they come out of some false sense of duty. But they don't believe anything that's preached. We shouldn't be that way. There should be a balance of hearing and doing. Matthew 7:24 says, whosoever heareth and doeth them. And doeth them. There is that qualifier there. Let me ask you this. If a mechanic came to you and said, hey, your car's out of oil. If you keep driving it like that, it's going to blow up the engine. And you look at him and you say, boy, I really appreciate you telling me that. I'm so thankful that you let me know that. That was good news. That was great. I appreciate it. And would you go out, get in your car and leave? Just keep driving it that way? No. You would say, man, I need to change that. I need to put oil in that car. It's going to blow up. And that's what the preaching of the Word of God does. It comes and it points areas in our life, things that need to be changed. And I'm afraid that sometimes when we've been in church a long time, when we've been going to church a long time, that we kind of get used to what we want to do. And anything that's preached that doesn't line up with what we already believe, we just mark it off as that guy's He's a fanatic, or he's immature, or he's young, he's a novice. He'll learn that you don't need to preach those things. Whatever they are, we take things that we don't already believe and just chalk it up to, I don't need to do that. Yeah. Instead of looking at the scriptures, honestly saying, God, is this what I need to do? Yeah. And do it. You see, it takes faith and works. Yeah. Faith and works. One of those is profession. The other is practice. Yeah. Faith and works. You possess salvation. You're saved by faith. But practice means you're going to do what is your duty to do. In the church house, there's a lot of areas where we might have a certain desire. You have a desire to be involved in this or to do that or to participate in this or to contribute to that, and here's your desire. But we've got to have a balance between desire and duty. It's not just do all the things that I desire and forget about everything else. There needs to be a balance there. There's some things that I do that I don't really desire to do. I could tell you what they are, but this is not a confessional here. I don't need to tell you the areas that I struggle. But here's what I know, that if you're not doing some things that you don't desire to, yeah, you are not fulfilling your duty before God. Amen. I guarantee you, I can say that emphatically. If you are not doing on a regular basis some things that you don't necessarily desire to do in your heart, you're not fulfilling your duty before God. Because there is the old flesh that is constantly going to be warring against what God wants you to do. And the desire is not always going to be there. Oh, it's there when we're in revival. It's there when we're in the middle of missions conference. It's there when things are going good. But it has a tendency to wane. And you've got to do the duty to keep it going. We need balance in our meditation and in our ministry and in our mission, what we're accomplishing for God. What is your purpose in life? What does God want you to accomplish? You're balancing your desire, your duty. Oh, I have a desire to do this. But what about the duty that God has given you? The mission that God has given you? Ecclesiastes 3, verse number 1 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. You know, the church, the home, the government, all three are important. There's got to be a balance in those things. If I, as an individual, desire, I really focus on the home, and as far as teaching, it's an area that I like to teach on, but let's say it's you, and you, there's Christians that, they're all about the home, man. They homeschool their children, and I'm for it. I think it's the best solution for educating your children. I'm for homeschooling. They do that, and then they're never available to do anything for the church. Right. Oh, we've got this family thing, and we've got that family thing, and this family thing is going. Hey, you're doing all the things you desire to do. Right. But what about your duty for the church, for God? Never have time to go out and to vote or to participate in our country and the needs that we have. You've got to have a balance. What about in your personal life? There's some people that really like exercise. I don't know why, but there's some people that do. They really, I mean, they're just all about being physically fit. You know, this is so important. And it is important. Bodily exercise profits a little, but it does profit, and it is important. And one of the reasons that we feel so sick all the time, and the reason we feel so tired all the time, and the reason we can't get out of bed may in large part be because we are so in such poor shape. Because for the rest of us, we don't desire to exercise, and so we never do. You see what I'm saying? That's, oh, I do not desire to do that, so I am not even going to take a walk. I mean, if I don't have to walk from here to the car, I'm going to find the easiest way to do it. I'm not going to ever overextend or stress this body at all. But on the other hand, this guy is all about exercise, and he spends every day at the gym. Well, he's out of balance. Hey, we do need to exercise. We do need to invest a little effort and energy in keeping the body in shape, and we'll be healthier for it. But we shouldn't be fully consumed in that area. Do you understand what I'm saying? I can't give you all the areas of life where people have desires. We could talk about financially. People have a desire to succeed financially. And this is overwhelming. It controls their thought processes. It gets them out of bed in the morning, and it motivates them through their day. And the motivation and all of it is to succeed financially. And many times their family has to sacrifice and go without and not be their presence. And they can't take vacations with their family, and they can't be at church, and they can't do this. Because why? Because they got to get this amount of money. It's all about how much money they make. They're out of balance. Why? Because that's what they desire. They're over here yanking on that oar. What they desire so much. But what about the rest of the duties that God has given us? The rest of the responsibilities that we have that we should be balanced with in our life? There's some people who are very intellectual. Pastor Derek? No. There's some people who study and read a lot. And they would be content to just lock themselves in a room and just read books all day. Well, hey, God said we're to grow in grace and in knowledge. It's in the knowledge of a particular thing. Not just general knowledge, although we should get knowledge. Jesus Christ grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, so we do need to gain wisdom. But growing in grace and knowledge is knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I'm saying you can overemphasize the acquisition of knowledge and invest all your time in that. And physically, you're letting your body go down the tube. Physically, you're not taking care of your body, not doing any exercise. You're not doing any ministry. You're not serving God. You're missing hours at work where you should be providing for your family. Why? Because you're over here yanking on the oar that you like. And I'm just saying, if we're going to be successful in our lives, we've got to have balance. We've got to have balance. Between the duties that we have and the desires. Now, we know that the Word of God tells us that he'll give us the desires of our heart. Right. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Here's what I believe. If you balance, strive to have balance and do the duty, what God wants you to do, that God will give you the desire of your heart. Yeah. And I've taught on this before that I believe that's twofold. It's he will give you what your heart's desire, and he will give you the desire to do what you need to do. Both ways, I believe that's the case. He will give you the desires of your heart. If you delight thyself also in the Lord, he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. I'm going to ask the pianist to come for a moment of invitation tonight. Balance between duty and desire. Duty and desire. We need to have balance. You know, all of nature functions off of balance. It's amazing when a stream or a river gets the pH levels in the water or such get out of balance, things start dying. The growth along the banks dies off, falls into the water, or the fish die and they start floating away. I mean, because why? Because the balance isn't correct. And it's by God's design, it's an amazing thing, which destroys evolution, but by God's design, nature will put itself back in balance. If we come in and we dump a bunch of junk in the river, which we should not do, but if man carelessly does that. God has designed the earth in such a way that given a little bit of time, that river will balance itself back out and things will begin to grow again, and ultimately it will be back how it's supposed to be. That's by God's plan. Because we need balance. And as Christians, that's what we need as well.